At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story is about this guy who ends up getting stabbed at a bar in Las Vegas. Now, let me ask you, do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe in Valhalla? Do you believe in anything? Well, after tonight's story, you may want to go to church. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I ran up to the stretch limousine parked on the side of the highway outside of the Vegas nightclub I escaped from. The jacket of my powder-colored suit had torn in the back, and I could smell the sweat I had built up. None of it was from dancing. The vehicle had a glossy, snowy ting. The windows had a black enough tint to resemble squares of ink. I jogged around to the front and knocked on the driver's side window as pedestrians walked by and gawked at me. The chauffeur rolled the glass down and faced me with a look of concern. His name was Lucas. Although we had met hours ago, I was afraid he would either not recognize me or would be unwilling to transport me. My group had paid a hefty sum to use his service. "I need you to take me back to the Westgate Hotel," I said. He unlocked the car and I crawled into the back. The comfortable ivory-hue leather seats were plush as I settled in. A flat screen showed a boxing match. Lucas turned around to face me after he pressed the lock button on all the doors. "Are the cops searching for you?" The question was surreal but understandable. My knuckles felt as though they had broken, and my right hand was starting to swell. I had a small hematoma on my forehead. He must have seen the rip on my suit jacket in his rear view. "No," I said, though my answer was far from confident. "I don't want to get an aiding and abetting charge if you did something you shouldn't have. Where's the rest of your bachelor party?" I reached into my pocket and pulled out a stack of bills. I gave the newfound will-be legal advisor a few hundred. "It's the city of sin," I said, "and I know you've seen worse than me. I'm unaware of where my boys are. Give me your phone number so if they call me, I can contact you to go and get them and bring them to wherever they want to go. In the meantime, I'd appreciate if you didn't treat me like I'm some criminal." Normal, well-adjusted people did not get into a bar fight. My devout Catholic family would not like the circumstances I had placed myself in. It was not the first scuffle I had been in. Still, it had been a while since I engaged in such a nonsensical act of violence. I could remember defending myself against a few individuals during the chaos. There was one in particular I had dealt with longer than the others in the middle of the incident. I could not bring back his face. I assumed it was the adrenaline or the lack of fluorescence within the establishment. The driver accepted my money and wrote his phone number down on a blue napkin. It had the letters TSC. These stood for his company, the Swedish Champagne. Printed below the title in bold lettering were the words, "Luxury Common Carrier." After he handed it to me, I patted myself down and realized I lost my device. Lucas pulled onto the main road and headed towards the hotel. I cracked the window to let air in. A cascade of neon flashing lights passed by outside. This glorified, wayward adult playground of depravity lost its allure to me in less than an hour. "How does the other guy look?" Lucas asked with a wry smile. My head hurt, and all I wanted was for the evening to end. I didn't know where my group went, and that became a bigger concern than the events which had transpired. A chair was flung into my direction by another patron at the bar, who felt as though I had flirted with his fiancé. I said, "Did you?" I did not answer. The scene came back to me. After I stood, shattered bottles and upside-down tables were everywhere. One of the bartenders pulled out a baseball bat, and before I knew it, we were fighting with staff. Not only bouncers, either. Even the janitor, who had to be at least 50 years old and 5'1", felt the need to join the melee. I took one guy to the ground, locked my arms around his neck, and choked him unconscious. I let him stand again and he swung, so I gave him a left hook and dropped him. After that, an entire entourage came through the front door, and the last thing I can recall seeing was a knife. It was then I ran. I laid my head back into the seat of the limousine and fell into a slumber. The brightness of the Marquis as they faded behind us gave me speckles of light as I drifted. When I awoke, I stared out the window and could not believe what I saw. Some castles lined the side of the highway. Behind them were mountains that appeared like giant clay prominences. Twisted trees dotted their sides. The sky had purplish incandescence. I took in a lungful of air and tried to rationalize what I was seeing. There had to be a new Scottish-themed casino I was unaware of. Something bumped against my ankle and rested on my feet. I looked down and saw a rattlesnake with green scales. The hissing was louder than the radio which blared in the background. Consistent circular patterns dotted its body. My years in the California desert gave me an understanding of which ones were venomous. This little guy resembled the type I had seen growing up in the Mojave. They slithered near the late-night parties I attended on the outskirts of the air and spaceport. I jumped and yelled for help as it wrapped itself around my leg. I searched around for whatever I could use as a weapon. All I could find was a champagne bottle. It was one of many champagnes lined up on the lower compartment of the door. I was ready to smash it into the thing.
"I wouldn't do that," Lucas said as he peered at me in the mirror.
"It's looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
"It's going to bite you. You'd also be cutting your shin wide open. Why do you put this thing in here with me, you psycho?" He cranked on the gear shaft and placed the vehicle in park. I stared out at acres of woodland which had nothing but black pines and miles of soil darker than charcoal. A fox scurried by. One of its legs was missing. I looked to my right and saw a woman in a blue dress approaching the car. She was younger than me, had dark hair, and wore a jade necklace around her neck. She hopped in and thanked the driver. Her voice was delicate. I noticed how the hem of her dress fluttered on its own in the interior of the vehicle. This struck me as odd, due to how there was no current or air conditioning. She sat across from me and carried a scroll in her hands. She looked up at me with wide eyes as the reptilian squeezed tighter.
"Who are you?"
"It's not important, but your driver is Charon. When people die, as you did back in the bar by a knife wound, their transition to hell begins. Lucas is a ferryman with tons of experience. Still, he takes on the form of Lucas, since it's one you were familiar with." Her words did not sink in as my stomach twisted. "Our hierarchy was made so panic did not set in immediately. It causes more of a nervous breakdown when it's not expected. Still, as the person who does your processing, it is not in my best interest to lie to you. You are going to a very grisly place. I also have the best offer to take away some of the pain." the vehicle moved again. We rolled up a steep incline along a mountainside with various chateaus built out of volcanic rock. I tried to open the door in what would have been a suicidal attempt at getting away. If what this woman said was true, I no longer had a biological system susceptible to agony. I figured the risk was worth it. The doors were still locked. "You're trolling me here," I said as I folded my arms. "That's a ridiculous lie." She reached out to me. She placed her fingernails on my side. I looked down and saw a part of her hand disappear into where my wound was, the same place a blade had made entry earlier. The entire front of her shirt blossomed with blood. My disorientation must have made me not notice it, I thought. I looked out and saw a group of people in the Pine Barrens. They writhed together as one massive pit, and my mind could not accept what my eyes were witnessing. They were all covered in glacial sleet. They snapped off each other's frost-burnt ligaments. "I know your sins," she said as she rolled her shoulders back. "From the time you pushed a boy off of the monkey bars in third grade to embezzling money, the insurance company trusted you to be a good employee. I can go on, but my knowledge of your occasional moral bankruptcy makes little to no difference. I have a proposal, one you would be wise to accept. I would like to recruit you to be one of our servants." "What would I be doing?" I asked as a lump formed in the back of my throat. "The first millennia, you would torture souls. You would use a variety of white phosphorus weaponry to torture whoever we tell you to. After that, your contract would expire, and depending on how well you have done, we will move you to where we need you." "No," I said. "I can't bring that much pain on anyone. I like the fight every once and again to remind myself I'm well alive, yet that doesn't mean I want to injure or maim or torture other people who haven't done anything to me." I choked the words out and the horrifying reality of how things had changed overcame me. I had the sensation of watching my entire moral constitution erupt in flames. "Fine," she said as she undid the scroll. "Then you're going to be on the other side of it. Here are some of the servants you're going to meet." She showed me various etchings of human and monster hybrids. Each portrait had a darkish gray sediment used to illustrate them. Each one had its title and name floating below them in calligraphy writing. The job descriptions they carried were the types of punishment they doled out. I knew, based on her verbiage, that I would be one of their subjects. The first one showed me was the Barthritus. He was a towering figure with scorpion stingers in replace of hands. His forehead had a bulbous rhinoceros horn that protruded from it. His exposed legs had sores all over them. The second was Cressida. Her hair looked like mold, and it grew from her flesh like a scabrous and infected layer. She held a fistful of ebon needles and had a grotesque hunch. The third was a Bastet. His torso was hundreds of thousands of goat heads. Around his neck dangled a necklace of severed limbs. The fourth was the Herald. He had a blindfold on. A tar-like liquid drenched him. An emanation of steam came off his skin. The fifth was the Storm Lion, the animalistic form of half of its head missing. Part of his brain matter splattered along his front. His muscles had similar striations as those of a bodybuilder. His malformed paws had shattered bones that pierced through his skin. Yet he had something which steamed from his mouth and a torn apart mane. What stuck out between his teeth was a rake with ends that looked sharper than razors. The sixth was Al Ghul. The thing wore a cloak. Copperheads slithered out from its esophagus. Her very skin had bubbles and blisters which indicated perpetual and intense heat. You could avoid spending time with these demons if you sign here. She's
at Ability Chiropractic. They do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Said as she pointed to a line at the bottom. The snake's head angled upwards to look at me. Its tongue flicked with a frantic repetition, a signal of how hungry it was to put its toxins into me. While I knew it could not kill whatever form I now inhabited, I did not yearn for the wretchedness I would feel from it. "I'll do it," I said. She smiled and handed me a pen. The writing tool had vulture feathers at the end, with a tip chiseled from a hyena's claw. She held up a fuchsia jar of solvent for me to dip the instrument into. I made a motion to stab her in the jaw with it. I telegraphed the motion. She shoved me back with more force than a semi-truck. My ribs broke. My chest cavity had crushed. I still had a hold of the pin, and I used it to smash the window. The snake bit down. I grabbed to it to place it as far away from my body as I could muster. I slammed it against the upholstery until it turned into a liquidized tube. She screamed and wrapped her hands around my throat. I writhed and managed to make it to the front seat. I could not get her off me and felt consciousness start to lift away. I cracked Lucas in the back of the head with my free hand as she screamed at me. The limousine went past a rusted metal guardrail and slipped downhill. Craggy formations of andesite and obsidian rushed by in a blur. We crashed into a boulder. The airbags went off and Lucas's head whipped against the wheel before he went limp. The woman let go of me and was flung forward through the windshield and against the megalithic stone. I crawled out of the limousine. I heard a river nearby, and a smell that had a combination of acrid pollution, ash, and cedar embers.
"Sign it!"
A screech bombarded where I lay and burst my eardrums. I stared up at the darkening horizon and saw the woman in the blue dress. She walked up to me with the scroll and kicked me in the head. I spat teeth out and tasted dirt mixed with the salt from my blood.
"Leave me alone," I groaned.
"Sign the paper, or you'll spend eternity wishing for it all to end." I looked up and saw something blackening the sun. It was a moth with wings of silver the size of a city block. The main bill of its form had body parts sewn together with a needle and thread. "It's going to come closer to feast on you unless you sign it," she said. I submitted. I gave my signature. My eyes opened. All I saw was an equilateral shape of lights above me. I stared around a sterile white room. There was someone else in the bed next to mine. A flimsy curtain separated us, giving an unconvincing sense of privacy. It was a medical facility. IVs lined my arms. Heart monitor pads were all along my chest. I reached up and pressed the help button on the remote control. A nurse came in. The oxygen left my lungs as I laid eyes on the healthcare assistant. She was identical to the woman in the blue dress I'd dealt.
"Where am I?"
"You're in Summerlin Hospital Medical Center."
"What happened?"
"You were in a fight at a nightclub. Someone stabbed you. You suffered penetrating abdominal trauma. It didn't hurt your vital organs, although it was deep enough to come close. You lost a lot of blood. You required surgery."
"Who brought me here?"
"A friendly limousine driver."
"How long have I been?"
"You were comatose for 2 hours. You stepped out of our front entrance and hit the ground. I'm unsure if it was the consciousness or the hemorrhage which caused the coma.
I can notify the doctor to come and speak with you if you want exact clarification.
I declined.
It was 5 days until my mobility came back, and another week before they finally discharged me. I went back to my white-collar desk job under the guise of how nothing changed. I pushed down the whole experience. I did not want to give credence to the situation as being anything other than a dream, one brought by alcohol, adrenaline, injury, and anesthetic. Years later, I went to confession. I had not been to the chair since I was a teenager. I knew I should seek out therapy, but I reasoned that this was as good as a start as any. I told the priest everything about the limousine ride and the events in Vegas leading up to it. "A voice beckons to me," the man of the cloth said. "It's telling you to pick up hunting. It wants you to practice for what awaits you soon."
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.